This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to talk about an interesting companion. Someone that has very, very special status and place, in spite of the fact that there's very little recorded about her, or very little known about her. Let me ask you a question. How many here know a female companion, or how many of you, let me just ask this question, know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sometimes would joke with his companions or tease them? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has sense of humor, but whenever he joked sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was always what? He spoke the truth. Anyone is aware of this? Yeah, you're aware of this. Okay. You can think of an example? What's the most famous example that is given to the Prophet that shows the Prophet a sense of humor? The old lady. Yeah? You know the story of an old lady that the Prophet told her? Women don't enter Jannah old? And she was an old lady, an elderly lady. You know who that woman was? That's a woman that had a very special relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Her name was Baraka. Do you know who I'm talking about? Baraka, mashallah alaik. Inta li Baraka. Tayyib, who was Baraka? She has a nickname or a kunya by which she is most known. Anyone knows? Umm Ayman. Her kunya became so famous, so much so that nowadays, or not nowadays, for some time, some people would name their daughters Umm Ayman. Umm Ayman literally means the mother of Ayman. And the reason she was named the mother of Ayman is because she had a son named Ayman. And her kunya, her nickname became Umm Ayman, the mother of Ayman. And this Ayman himself was a shaheed. He was actually a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Her name was Baraka bint Thalaba ibn Hisn. Baraka bint Thalaba. She was married to a man by the name of Ubayd, who was the father of Ayman ibn Ubayd. Her husband was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after his death, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her to someone else. So, what is the story of Umm Ayman? Who's Umm Ayman? Umm Ayman was a female slave, a young girl, a young female slave, owned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's father Abdullah. When Abdullah died, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still in that fetal state. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his mother was pregnant with him. He didn't even come to this world. She was about 2 to 3 months pregnant with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umm Ayman was kept by the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Amina. Amina bint Wahb, the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she kept her Her husband died. Whatever the husband possessed, now the wife has custody of it, but it's going to become what? The property of this child that is to come. And rest assured, the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Amina, gave birth to a baby boy, to a beautiful, special baby boy. A lot of people, you know, commemorate this event around this time of the year. Most likely around the 8th or the 9th of Rabi'ul Awwal. So Baraka, this little girl, this little Abyssinian girl from Habasha, was the one that carried the news. You know, was one of the people said to carry the news to Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather, who had just lost his favorite son Abdullah 7 months prior to this date. So 7 months earlier, he lost his son Abdullah, his favorite son. And now he is giving glad tidings of a baby boy born to that son after his passing. And he was the one that named him Muhammad. Baraka fell in love with the Prophet ﷺ from the moment she saw him. And she became his nanny, whom he actually technically owns as a slave. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he grew old enough, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam freed her. Because Baraka was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she would, radiyallahu anha, she would be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The only time she was separated from him is when Amina gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Halima, to nurse the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the homes of Bani Sa'd. But when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was returned to his mother later, perhaps at the age of 2 or at the age of 4, there are debates, Baraka was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the age of 6, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 6, his mother Amina took him to what was known back then as Yathrib. And Yathrib was the ancient name of Medina in those days. Baraka was with him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And on their way back in an area known as Al-Abwa, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was only 6, his mother fell ill and her symptoms worsened and she succumbed to the disease or whatever it was that she caught. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam watched his mother die. And she was buried there. And who was with him? Ayman. Baraka. So far now, her name is not Ayman. Her name is Baraka. Baraka was with him. She stayed with him. And about this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, Hiya ummi ba'da ummi. She became my mother after my mother. She was older than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She was a young girl, but she was older than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She returned with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, his grandfather Abdul Muttalib took custody of him. And who's with him? Barak. She's with him. 2 years later, Abdul Muttalib dies. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is again, yet within 2 years, suffers another loss as a child. And he sees his grandfather, his favorite grandfather, who became like a father figure for him, who was a father figure. He was his father, actually. And he used to say, Ibni, this is my son. He used to tell Baraka, do not lose sight of my son. Take care of my son. Make sure that he doesn't get lost. Make sure he doesn't get hurt. Like he's always. Abu Abdul Muttalib loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much so that no one could stop the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from doing anything that he wanted. Abdul Muttalib had this padded mat that he would sit on. Very fancy mat that he would sit on. No one dares to sit on it. Not his sons Al-Harith or Abu Talib or Hamza or Al-Abbas or any of them. Any of the Prophet's uncles, none of them would dare to sit on it, or Abu Lahab, no one. But young Muhammad will come very often and go and sit there where his grandfather used to sit like this. And his uncles will come to him and say, get up, that's your grandfather's mat. That is Abdul Muttalib's mat. Get up. And the Prophet would refuse. And then when Abdul Muttalib would come and see them, telling him to get off because he came, he will say, don't talk to my son. Don't say anything to him. Leave him alone. Muhammad can do whatever he wants. And he would send him to do errands for him. One time he sent him to pursue camels of his. And the Prophet took a while to be able to retrieve those camels. And Abdul Muttalib regretted doing that. And he became so worried that he went to in front of the Kaaba and he started singing poetry, begging Allah Azza wa Jal to return his son to him, to return the Prophet to him. And he vowed not to ever send him again because he couldn't handle not having him around. Who was with him all the time? Barak. So, and she was the one that consoled him when Abu Abdul Muttalib died that year. The Prophet's custody now belongs to his eldest uncle at that time. The eldest surviving uncle, Abu Talib. Who is going with the Prophet ﷺ? Baraka, she is with him. And then she stayed with him until the Prophet ﷺ married Khadija. And when the Prophet ﷺ married Khadija, that's when the Prophet ﷺ freed Ayman, or Baraka. He freed her. He gave her freedom. Let her go. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obviously when she is freed, she stayed with the Prophet. She's still family. A freed slave becomes like a family. She stayed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She eventually married Ubayd Abu Ayman. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi received the message, she was one of the first people to accept Islam, along with the members of his household, because she's a member of his household. She gave birth to Ayman, a boy that they named Ayman. And Baraka, the Prophet ﷺ gave her permission to go with her husband. Her husband was originally from the people of Medina, by the way, but he was in Mecca. He gave her permission with her husband to go to where? To Abyssinia. And she was a great asset for the Muslims because she spoke the language. She was originally from there. And she went with her husband to Abyssinia, and then they returned, and then eventually she made hijrah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina. Her husband passed away, and after her husband's passing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her to his who was Zayd ibn Haritha for the Prophet, his adopted son. Zayd ibn Haritha used to be the Prophet's slave. He was gifted to the Prophet by Khadija. And when he chose to stay with the Prophet, the Prophet freed him. When his father came to claim him with his uncle, the Prophet freed him. He said, you're free to go with them. And he chose to stay with the Prophet as a slave, so the Prophet freed him, and on the spot the Prophet adopted him as his son, and his name at that time was Zayd ibn Muhammad. So he married her to his own son, Mawlatu. And she was older than Zayd. She was perhaps maybe twice his age. Right? She was twice his age. He was a teenager. She married him too. She was a single mom with one boy. So Zayd ibn Haritha married her, and they together had the legendary, iconic Osama bin Zayd. And that is why, just for you to understand, Osama, you know, he resembled more his mother's side. That's why he was dark skinned, he was black, he had curly hair, but obviously he has some features to resemble his father. Right? And the munafiqun, the hypocrites, used to always mock him and say to Zayd, tease Zayd, or you know, mock Zayd and say he's not your son. And the Prophet ﷺ used to be really upset about this. So Usama bin Zayd is the son of Ummu Ayman, the son of Baraka. That's his mother. And
She raised Usama رضي الله عنه to be the, along with his older brother, half brother Ayman, to be amazing, strong companions, knowledgeable. They were fierce fighters رضي الله عنهم. And she stayed with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, close to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he used to frequently visit her. And she witnessed the death of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, obviously, and the death of her own son as well. Ayman was martyred, رضي الله عنه وارضاه. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave wasiyah. He used to say, you know, he used to tell the members of his household to care for her. And she lived long after the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. She lived until the time of Umar or Uthman. Abu Bakr and Umar, رضي الله عنهما, would go and visit Ummu Ayman. One time during the reign of Abu Bakr, رضي الله عنه, either Abu Bakr said to Umar, let's go visit Ummu Ayman, like the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to visit her. And they went to visit her. And when they went there, she started to cry. And they started to cry. She started to cry, so they were trying to comfort her. And they said, Ummu Ayman, you know the messenger, because the Prophet ﷺ was her prophet. He was her teacher, but he was also her son. He was her son. She saw him from the moment he was born. She saw him grow up to be an amazing, you know, the most extraordinary youth. She saw him go through so many losses, painful losses, losing his mother, losing his grandfather, losing his uncle, losing his wife, losing his sons, losing some of his daughters. She was with him. She saw him receive when he became a prophet. She knew him before he became a prophet. After he received the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he became a messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life. She knew him for 63 years. She knew him. He was part of who she was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She had great impact on him. So now his companions that he called to Islam, whom he brought out of darkness into the light of Islam, who became these great figures in our history and great leaders, and one of them now is the Khalifa, in charge of the affairs of Muslims. They're coming to visit her, offer her the respect and care that she deserved, radiallahu anha. She's sitting there and she's contemplating, she's remembering the past 65 years of her own life when she was a young girl, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored her, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her this opportunity to live this extraordinary life. And she starts crying. And Abu Bakr and Umar tried to calm her down. They said, Ya Ummu Ayman, don't you know what Allah has for his prophet is better than we could ever offer him in this life? Don't you know he's in a better place? أَلَا تَعْلَمِينَ أَنَّمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِنَبِيهِ. And when they said that, she looked at them and she said, she stopped and she looked at them and she said, I'm not crying about that. I know what Allah has for his prophet is greater than this dunya. Because Allah said to him, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. I know he's in a better place, in a better company. I am crying, وَلَكِنِّي أَبْكِي لِانْقِطَاعِ الْوَحِي. What is making me cry is the fact that there is no longer wahi coming fresh from heaven. Jibreel no longer comes to visit us. No more fresh, new Quranic revelation coming down. Allah is not speaking to us anymore directly through his, you know, we're not getting these fresh revelations, words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kalamullah is no longer coming. Khalas, it's what we have is what we have. And I miss those days. Because whenever fresh revelation came, whenever Quran came, whenever Jibreel visited, that used to bring about, you know, this positive spiritual energy energize the entire community in that entire vicinity would be blessed with new revelation. Only people with deep sense of iman and strong connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would feel it. And she said, I miss those days. And upon saying that, it hit Abu Bakr and Umar so hard that the two started to weep and cry. And now she's the one trying to calm them down. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. So tonight I wanted to speak about Umm Aymar radiallahu anha, Baraka bint Tha'laba, al-Habashiyya, the Abyssinian nanny of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, and may Allah's peace and pleasure be upon her, radiallahu anha, for caring for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a child, as a baby when he was in his infancy, and when he was a child, as a toddler, and then as a youth, and being amongst the people that provided the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with so much care and love. Bear in mind that she played a very critical role in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Her role was not marginal, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam needed love and he needed care, and she was of one of the people Allah chose for her to be there for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he was most vulnerable. رضي الله عنها وارضاها جزاكم الله خير والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.